Welcome to Your Personal Power Pod, a podcast about aligning yourself with the life you want. And here are your hosts, Sandy Abel and Shannon Young.
Good morning, Shannon. How are you today?
I am very well, Sandy. How are you?
I am fine. We're doing a really important topic today, but for some reason, well, I know why, it makes me uncomfortable, but it's an important topic. So
so we're starting out giggling because yes, things are about to get really heavy.
Because it's so much more fun to giggle.
We are talking about trauma today, which is a really big word that encompasses a whole lot of experiences and reactions and is kind of in the cultural zeitgeist right now. That word is being thrown around a lot.
Right, about mental health issues and all kinds of things. Just to define it, trauma is the emotional condition that results from exposure to an incident or a series of incidents that are emotionally disturbing or life-threatening or terrifying. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you're traumatized, it can have a lasting adverse effect on how you function, both mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, and spiritually.
Yeah. And this is the thing I learned today. I did not know that there were different types of trauma. I knew there were different like levels, like you could be mildly traumatized or you could be greatly traumatized by something. But I didn't know that in the trauma world, there were actually different types.
Yeah. And acute trauma is what you get from a single incident, like I've experienced that. Mm-hmm. Chronic trauma is a reaction to repeated and prolonged awfulness, mm-hmm. such as domestic violence or abuse or things like that. And then complex trauma is from exposure to multiple traumatic events, often that are invasive and interpersonal, and like soldiers and such, who never know if they're going to be shot at. That's complex trauma.
There are so many different kinds of experiences that cause trauma. We were talking briefly before we started recording about traumas that are associated with my generation. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, when divorce became a common occurrence, then there was just kind of this whole generation of kids who had this kind of trauma from their parents splitting up.
Right. You were a child of divorce when mm-hmm. you were 10. Mm-hmm. Was that traumatic for you?
You know, I'm sure it was, but it's really hard to put my finger on how. Like, it was rough, but I also was very lucky in that I had the parents that I did and still have.
Yeah, that's right.
That you and my father did not badmouth each other. Like, it was awful because our family was breaking up, but you didn't make it any harder than it needed to be. Oh, and I know that is not the case for a lot of families. I think there were a lot of parents who didn't know how to do relationships well or didn't know how to process their own grief well, who made it really hard for their kids unintentionally, but that's just how it turned out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so glad it worked that way for you, because that was our goal, is neither of us were divorcing you or your brother right. at all. Mm-hmm. It was that we were not good together anymore. Mm-hmm. And we never, ever wanted to put either one of you in the middle. It wasn't about you. We still love you both hugely. And this was just a relationship issue between the two of us. And I'm so glad that it came across that way. Although it's still traumatic for kids when their family is shifting.
Sure.
So I apologize for that.
Well, and I mean, it could have gone the other way too. There are plenty of parents who didn't know how to navigate divorce, so didn't, and then stayed together. And then the household was not a safe place. And so right. their kids are coping with the trauma of that.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes it's really picking the least damaging road.
Exactly.
But it still causes damage, you know?
Yeah.
But there are all kinds of different experiences that can cause trauma. And that can be physical, sexual, emotional abuse, childhood neglect, living with a family member with mental health or substance abuse issues.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sudden unexplained separation from a loved one. That was kind of what you and your brother went through. It was explained, but it was
hard to understand. Yeah.
Exactly. When you're a kid, extreme poverty where you don't have food and a shelter and all that, discrimination or oppression, violence, war, terrorism.
Or just being involved in something violent or scary or really unusual that somehow affects you in a way that you don't know how to deal with.
Exactly. Have you ever been traumatized other than that?
Yeah, there have been a couple of experiences that I don't necessarily need to go into, but that I don't think I realized how I was affected mm-hmm. until something came up later, a trigger, and then my body responded
right.
in a way that like I was shaking or I couldn't focus or I was breathing really heavily. And then that's when my brain went, oh, something happened here that needs to be processed.
Exactly. That was very smart of you to be aware.
How about you?
I've talked about it before, a traumatizing experience for me turned out well, but I still have a little bit of PTSD about it. We were on the freeway and the cars up ahead were stopped. So we stopped and there was a big gap between us and the cars farther back on the freeway. And they were cruising along at 80 miles an hour. The woman right behind us saw what was going on and stopped, but the guy behind her didn't. And he slammed into her at 80 miles an hour and her car went flying right by us. It missed us by like inches, literally. And I could see her terrified face. And as her car flew by us, it was really, really scary. Fortunately, your dad was aware and pulled us over a little bit to get out of her way. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the car behind the one that hit her smashed into him. And it was really a scary experience. And we were not hurt at all. But now when I'm on the freeway, I'm kind of hyper. And your poor dad, you know, slow down, watch that car. Because mm-hmm. I still have those memories and I have a physical reaction of fear, knowing what could happen. That is trauma. And that was several years ago. And it's better. It's much better. But it's like you have intrusive memories, you relive the event. These are all ways to know you are traumatized, and I'm living them. You also might have upsetting dreams or nightmares, emotional distress and physical reactions if something reminds you of it. I do that. Being easily startled. Those are all reactions at how you know if you've been traumatized.
I'm so sorry you went through that. I'm glad everybody was okay.
Well, I don't know how she was. You know, everybody was trying to get out of the way. And so we couldn't stop and help her because we probably would have gotten a hit.
Uh-huh.
So I really hope she was sort of moving around and trying to get out of her car. So
yeah,
I think she was okay. Yeah, that was very traumatic.
I think that often contributes to trauma is even if you aren't the one who went through whatever the action was, being unable to help
yes.
frequently mm-hmm. can leave you feeling off your game, like really disturbed. And those emotions can be really hard to process. And I know there's a whole lot of reliving those kinds of things and trying to change the outcome.
Yeah, which obviously you can't because that was right. then and this is now. But in your mind, you're saying, I wish I could have done this or we should have done that, or mm-hmm. you're trying to come to terms with what happened.
Right. And so it can leave you feeling really tense or on guard or on edge. It can make it really hard to concentrate, mm-hmm. which, you know, leads to difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep
mm-hmm.
or just being generally irritable, angry, having aggressive outbursts.
And the memories just come back. Like whenever I'm on the freeway, they come back and it's like, this is silly. It's okay. We're much more cautious now, although we didn't do anything wrong in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You still feel helpless and overwhelmed with emotions sometimes.
I think it's interesting, too, that there are other symptoms of trauma that aren't, at first glance, maybe as, I don't want to say detrimental, but they don't feel quite as, maybe they're harder to diagnose. Like if you are somebody who really likes to do risky things, you know, ride your motorcycle really fast or jump out of planes or engage in really risky behaviors,
mm-hmm.
you might just be an adrenaline junkie, but that also may be a sign that you're dealing with trauma on some level.
Exactly. Or if you're just anxious and nervous all the time or have trouble concentrating, you get depressed easily, you have mood swings and crying spells. Those are all other symptoms of trauma.
Or physical stuff, you know?
Yeah.
People who have recurring headaches or other kinds of physical problems that just don't seem to have any logical cause, that can be a sign of trauma.
Or panic episodes, yeah. obsessive compulsive behaviors, suicidal thoughts, all of those also. If you're having trouble coping with the trauma, you shift it to something else, which could be self-destructive.
Being paranoid, That's a biggie. Or being shaky, like really hesitant, not knowing how to move forward, self-medicating.
Yeah, or substance abuse or hypervigilance. That's what I do when I'm on the freeway, is just I hover.
That must be fun for Dad.
I know, your poor dad. He's so patient and so understanding, and he tries to stay back from other cars and all that. But I still am really, really hypervigilant. A lot of people think that this is PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. The main difference between basic trauma and PTSD is the length of time that you experience it. Trauma refers to your experience during and immediately after whatever was happening. And if it's not processed in your mind and body, then it can turn into PTSD, which is a specific mental health diagnosis.
So if you experience a traumatic event and then don't address it or are unaware of it, can it turn into PTSD, just that one experience?
I think so.
If you just continue to relive it over and over and over again?
You're doing the post-traumatic stress, focusing on what happened or what didn't happen, but almost happened, like where I am. That can be PTSD.
So I think the actual diagnosis results from symptoms that you're having that last longer than a month that are severe enough to interfere with your daily functioning.
Right. Often this is really common. PTSD is really common. We've all heard about it for people who have been in a war zone, mm-hmm. or who have been in some kind of traumatic shooting or something, or people who have been in abusive relationships. Mm-hmm. After a while, they just are traumatized to the point where it kind of becomes part of who they are. And the memories and events, fears, all that just continue to be replayed in their brain and can affect all your health.
So part of the conversation around trauma that is in the public right now includes the word triggers. Mm-hmm. So what are triggers?
Well, the triggers are the things that set off the reminder. Like, I'm going back to me, and my trauma is not all that big compared to some people's, which is just huge. Uh-huh. But when I'm just walking around, I'm just fine. I don't have a trigger. But when I get in the car on the freeway, that's a trigger. Mm-hmm. I can be in the car downtown and I'm fine. But it's the things that you link to what happened. It could be certain places, conversation topics, certain people, or even characteristics. You can see somebody, if you've been abused and you see somebody who you don't even know, who looks a lot like your abuser, that could be a trigger.
Or has a mannerism like them.
Exactly. That could be a trigger.
These things can kind of come out of the blue. I think that's part of what's so insidious about trauma, is that you don't know where the triggers are going to come from. And so you kind of go through life being tentative, being on high alert.
Right. Things that you're not even aware of, like dates. If something huge, awful happened to you on a certain date, like March 27th, I just chose that, then every March 27th, you might have a body memory about that incident and not even be consciously aware of it, but you'll be really anxious that day. Mm-hmm. And then you go, oh, this is the day that happened. Oh, shoot. You know, well, let's get on to tomorrow. Interesting that dates or certain activities, if you were doing something and something awful happened, if you go back and do it again, that could be a trigger.
I have a dear friend who got a scary health diagnosis many years ago, and everything turned out fine. She got treatment. She's good. But it is interesting that every year, about a month before that date, her body reacts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
What's wild about that is that you don't have a calendar in your body. So it's probably responding to things that she's unaware of, like the season or the smells or, you know, things like that that come around that time of year that her body then associates with this diagnosis.
Exactly. I've noticed in our family, both my parents and my dear aunt and several other people that I really love died between September and December, the fall.
That's brutal.
And that's our family.
Yes.
You're there too.
I was
and
there.
I notice that when I get into September, I start being a little depressed. Once I realize, oh yeah, it's that time of year when so many people left. So then I can acknowledge that and I can do whatever I need to do to work through that. Mm-hmm. But every year my body knows, it's a body memory.
Yes.
Of the times that it wasn't hugely dramatic, but it was a whole lot of loss in a concentrated time. the time of year can make a difference.
Does just knowing that help you handle it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because I'm not usually a depressed, sad person. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, I go, oh, what's wrong with you? This isn't you. And I go, oh, yeah, it's the end of September. Okay, got it. And then it actually helps. Identifying it helps to sort of deal with it and let it go. But if I wasn't able to do that, wasn't aware of that, I could just be sad and depressed for several months.
Yeah, and just feel kind of pushed around by the emotion, not really understanding where it's coming from or why.
Exactly. So it really helps to understand when you're being triggered. Notice what you're doing that sparked your trauma and your reactions, then pay attention to how you want to deal with it.
And there are ways that you can deal with it. Before we jump into those ways, I want to preface that with, if you're having a hard time handling your own flashbacks or PTSD, please seek somebody who can give you professional help. There's no stigma attached to it. Go talk to somebody who can either walk you through it through talk therapy or do EMDR or tap therapy or something like that. Like, there are definitely ways to work your way through this stuff. So there are things you can do when you're just at home on your own or wherever you are, so you can handle it on your own. But if that is too big for you, that's okay. Go find someone who can help you with that.
Absolutely. And know that what you're feeling is normal. There is nothing wrong with you.
Right. It's just your body and your mind trying to come to terms with something.
Exactly. And if you have something going wrong physically in your life, you'll go to the doctor and get it straightened out. And this is the same kind of thing. If you notice that something is a little off, you're struggling a bit, there's no shame in that at all. Just like there's no shame in if something's wrong with your body. You just go find the right person to help you work through it. Just like you would find a doctor to work through your physical stuff. So that's really important advice, Shan. Thank you for that.
But if you think you want to, you know, try it on your own first, that's great. And there are some things you can do. And the first one is just to breathe, you know?
Absolutely.
Kind of get out of your head, breathe to calm your mind, pay attention to what your body's doing. So lower your shoulders, relax your body. And it's interesting that smiling can help.
Absolutely. It's really funny. But just a simple smile will bring you a little bit of joy. So make sure you do that. Make sure you identify what is triggering you so that you can work through it. And then center yourself by focusing on the present and what's happening right now. Remind yourself that that was then, this is now. Maybe go out for a walk or something. I say this a whole lot because it's really powerful. Get outside, focus on the now, notice the trees, notice the birds, notice whatever is out there, and focus on the present.
And move. Just moving your body helps, because if you just sit and stew, it becomes a pit of quicksand. It does. It gets bigger.
It does.
And so even having those same thoughts, but doing it on a walk, will help you move through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And pay attention to those thoughts.
Yeah.
You're gentle with yourself and know that this is a common reaction to what you experienced. And sometimes it's good to just find a group or people to listen to you. Talk to a friend if you have a friend who's really understanding and will listen without trying to fix it all. Just take care of yourself.
Yeah, and this is where we go back to choosing how you want to respond instead of letting yourself just react. And we did a whole episode on the difference between the two, and one is a conscious decision and one is an unconscious knee-jerk reaction. And responding will help you so much more than reacting will.
Absolutely. So the bottom line is that it's important to understand that feeling traumatized in certain situations is normal, and that healing from trauma can be challenging and takes time, but it can be done if you're aware and gentle with yourself as you work through the process.
And we're thinking about you as you know, we all have some kind of trauma in our life that we're dealing with.
Absolutely. Everybody does.
Whether it's big or small, we all know that feeling of having something that we don't know how to process that affects us in our everyday life. You know, you've got this. Life is about the good and the bad and learning how to work through the bad.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Sandy. Thank you for sharing some of your experiences with us.
Well, thank you, Shannon, also for that. I just hope that all of our listeners who are experiencing some kind of trauma will be gentle with themselves and find ways to work through it so they can find the joy in their life.
And then tell us about it, because we love it when you share your stories with us. So whether it's self-esteem, personal power, trauma, whatever you want to tell us about, please do. If you have ideas for future episodes that you'd like us to address, we love that. It's super helpful. So please let us know. And if you feel like doing so, please review our podcast. It's really helpful for us. And I think also for other listeners or people who haven't listened yet, if you're getting something out of it, let the world know, because we could help somebody else too. And if you want to just talk to us directly, visit yourpersonalpowerpod.com, click contact, and drop us an email. And finally, if you want to learn about coaching and how it can change your life, get in touch with Sandy. She can talk to you about it. The email address is sandy@insidejobscoach.com. We look, as always, forward to hearing from you. And until next time, find your power and change your life.